everyone. Welcome to Mission Success, Women in Multifamily, the monthly podcast series dedicated to powerful female leaders in the multifamily industry. I'm Laura Kalugar, senior editor with Multi Housing News. As we continue to celebrate Women's History Month, I'm glad to be able to talk to a well-versed multifamily investment specialist. Robin Potts is a partner and chief investment officer with Canyon Partners Real Estate in the company's Los Angeles office. She has been with Canyon since 2006 and is responsible for overseeing all aspects of the firm's real estate platforms and holds a seat at all Canyon Partners Real Estate Investment Committees. Hi, Robin. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with our listeners.
Thanks so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
First of all, I'd like to know what your view is on the American economy. Where is it headed, and how do you expect the real estate market, more specifically the multifamily market, to react? Many economists agree that we're going to experience a mild recession or a slow session toward the end of the year. What's your take on this?
It's interesting. The U.S. economy to date has really been quite resilient, and we've had economic data that's continued to surprise to the upside, which has been particularly impressive when you consider that it's been against the backdrop of the Fed's very aggressive monetary tightening cycle over the last 24 months.
Right.
We've had, most recently over 3% GDP growth and, significantly higher than what we saw in 2022 at 1.9%. We've now had employment under 4% for 24 straight months, which is a very long streak and quite remarkable. And we've had a very strong consumer in the midst of the tightening cycle. And of course, we're watching that closely to see if there are lagging effects on both consumer and businesses as we go forward here. But I would say, in general, the economy has been on quite solid footing, and the Fed has made a lot of progress toward its inflation target of 2%, with the most recent CPI print coming in a little higher than expectations, but around 3%. So we're well off of that peak level in 2022. So generally, I would say that we're finding that the economy's been quite strong and inflation's come down to pretty benign levels. And all of this has been quite supportive of commercial real estate fundamentals, particularly for multifamily. So, for multifamily demand, obviously, the strong employment picture has resulted in strong absorption. Last year, mm-hmm. We saw over 300,000 units absorbed. So it was more than double the 2022 levels. And the weakness that we've seen in multifamily in terms of vacancy ticking up and rent growth being significantly down is really a function of the supply side more than the demand side, in my view. We've had a peak supply issue over the last 12 months, which should come off the peaks this year. And then it starts tapering down very significantly as you look past to 25 through 27, where, we should have deliveries dramatically down. Multifamily construction starts are now down over 60% relative to 2022 levels. So again, I just think it sets the stage for positive rent growth to resume against what is otherwise a fairly strong economic backdrop.
So where are all those mild recessions, those session talks coming from?
So I think in general, and we're watching this closely as well, you are going to see lagging effects on the consumer and businesses as a result of the high interest rate environment. So that's certainly something that could be on the horizon. But for multifamily specifically, I think that the demand profile remains quite strong, again, because of the supply pipeline backing down, as well as just the broader context of the U.S. being undersupplied from a housing perspective.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe the multifamily investment market today?
It's been going through a very significant reset, and that adjustment period is being felt certainly with transaction volumes being significantly down, mm-hmm. and cap rates have come off of the very tight levels from 21 and 22. It's been a reflection, obviously, of the significant change in the interest rate environment, and we've seen cap rates expand 100 basis points or more, depending on the asset profile. But I would say that when you, you know, talk to institutional investors and lenders, multifamily continues to be at the top of the food chain in terms of asset classes that investors want to be invested in. And again, it's, I think, a reflection of the strong fundamentals, but also the predictable cash flows that you have within multifamily. Generally, it's a lower CapEx asset class, and it commands the best available financing across real estate sectors, particularly with the support of the agency lenders. Mm-hmm. And right now, also, I would say a positive that investors are keying in on is it's significantly more expensive right now to own versus rent. So that's a further, support of the multifamily market, given where interest rates and home prices are today.
Right. You mentioned that transaction volume was down significantly in 2023 compared to previous years. But will this year be any different? Some expect it to be another transitional year, much like last year. There's even some sort of a mantra out there, survive till 2025. So how will this year be for lenders and borrowers?
Right. So 23 saw multifamily transaction volume down around 60% relative to 2022. So it was a very challenging year. I think, you know, absolutely we'll see transaction levels be higher this year, but not necessarily back to kind of prior levels this year. But I think you'll see a pickup because the bid-ask spread between buyers and sellers has been narrowing as time has continued mm-hmm. to pass. I think that there's a bit more certainty around the interest rate path and a bit more consensus around the fact that we've hit peak rates and the relative stability that we've seen in treasuries so far this year, I think has helped buyers and sellers meet a little bit more from a pricing perspective. You've also seen buyers get more creative in terms of how they pursue financing acquisitions. So you have a number of buyers that have been closing all cash in this market environment and looking to place debt on in the future. You have more lenders offering kind of shorter term fixed rate options to give buyers the ability down the road to refinance at lower rates. And then of course the agencies have been offering their rate buy down program. So there's kind of little bits and pieces across the capital spectrum that have been helping people find a path toward transacting. And I think as we continue this year, you'll see more of a pickup as we get to the second half when there should be a bit more certainty around the rate trajectory and the potential rate cuts.
Mm-hmm. Until now, sellers and buyers, many of them have chosen to sit on the sidelines, but how much longer can they do that? How much longer can they wait for certainty to return to the market? And when do you expect their hesitancy to start to diminish?
It depends on, for each specific owner, their balance sheet and what balance sheet pressures that they're dealing with. So right now, owners of multifamily fall into a lot of different categories that may be facing different issues. So sellers right now in the market could include core funds that are facing redemption issues, private REITs that need liquidity, closed-end funds that are having end-of-fund-life issues that they need to address. There are, you know, private owners with debt maturities that don't want to do a cash-in refinance in order to keep holding the asset, or don't want or have the ability to continue replenishing interest reserves and re-upping on rate caps if they have floating rate debt. You're also seeing a lot of merchant builders looking to sell that typically recycle their capital to be able to keep their pipeline moving. So all of those different types of liquidity needs are generally the reasons that people are looking to sell today. If you're not facing those types of needs, I would say that most groups are holding off on transacting. So generally, you know, it's waiting and seeing unless you have kind of a time-sensitive balance mm-hmm. sheet item to force selling. And then I would say on the buyer side, you're seeing a lot of private buyers, so family office type capital, as well as value add and opportunistic funds looking to transact today, while you have more of the core type capital on the sidelines.
You mentioned that you expect transaction activity to pick up in the second half of the year. But it all depends, of course, on how much rates come down. Nobody expects a significant cut, but what signal would even a small interest rate reduction this year send to the multifamily market?
I think that would be received very positively. And again, just give people the confidence of what the path looks like going forward. People in general are looking for more stability and certainty around what their cost of capital is going to be. And so any indications essentially that the Fed has, you know, concluded its tightening path and holding it at this level and has commenced the downward trajectory, I think is going to be a very strong signal. Right now, obviously the market expectations are that you're going to see 3 rate cuts in the second half of the year, which is consistent with the Fed's projections. And so everyone's looking forward to seeing if that comes to pass.
And how exposed would you say is the multifamily industry to loan maturities? The markets are definitely not as burdened with large amounts of debt that is slated to mature as office markets. So how much distress is there on the horizon in the multifamily space?
You know, as you pointed out, distress is usually pinned to the office sector, and that's the first sector that comes to mind in this cycle on distress. And that's really a result of the fundamentals for office, obviously structurally changing so significantly after the pandemic. Multifamily is in a very different place because its fundamentals are very strong, but it's challenged by the fact that it has the largest portion of floating rate debt that's outstanding. So half of all kind of floating rate originations have been for multifamily over the last 5 years, and most of that floating rate debt was structured with loan terms, you know, of up to 3 years. So loan maturities are absolutely starting to happen this year and in the successive years, and floating rate loans are creating distress and challenges for owners whose debt costs have gone from, what should have been or what they thought would be 2 to 3%, up to 7 to 8%, and the assets can't handle that debt burden, as right. well as the rate cap issues and pay down issues to get through extension option covenants. So as these loans mature, it's absolutely creating different needs throughout the market. So sales opportunities where you have owners who must sell because of this debt, it's causing rescue capital situations where owners are looking for preferred equity or priority equity to come in and get injected to right size the floating rate debt that they have. And then we're also seeing that it's causing distress situationally on certain construction projects where the borrower's balance sheet wasn't capitalized sufficiently to handle this level of interest rate overruns, which in certain cases was compounded also by construction cost overruns. So as a result of all of these factors, multifamily is the second highest property type for potential distress behind office. And we're absolutely seeing that within our pipeline of transaction activity in terms of requests that we're getting from owners and operators across the country looking for solutions.
But despite all of that, multifamily is a safe investment because shelter is a fundamental need for everyone, right? And today, banks and investors are making efforts to lower their exposure to office, which has been under immense stress, as we mentioned earlier. And some of them are turning to multifamily. How are the challenges that the office sector is facing impacting multifamily investment? Do you see investors entering the sector and trying to avoid the office sector or get out of that sector?
Yes, absolutely. That is a significant trend. So we do expect more capital as a proportion of portfolios to be allocated toward multifamily going forward because office is such a significant area of pullback. But I would say that investors and lenders still have a lot of work to do to work through challenged office investments within their portfolios. So that is going to take multiple years. And I would say most immediately right now, it's affecting kind of your traditional buyers of multifamily within the core and core plus space are, if those particular funds had significant office exposure, it's causing them to have liquidity issues that are putting them on the sidelines for making any new multifamily acquisitions right now. So there's challenges, and I would say asset management issues, to work through before you're going to see that influx of kind of increased allocation to multifamily. But that is absolutely on the horizon in terms of how both institutional investors and lenders are looking to position.
Mm-hmm. Going back to lenders, access to capital has been quite limited in the past 12 months, and some investors have pivoted toward less traditional lenders, creating opportunities for alternative capital providers. But if rates stabilize, will these alternative lenders return to more normal activity? Do we expect non-bank lending activity to go back to what we knew before the rates started to go up? Or have these less traditional lenders gained their seat at the table, so to say?
I think there is a prolonged opportunity set for alternative lenders, and really a permanent role, because banks have been pressured by the Fed in a number of different ways that we don't expect to see rolling back anytime soon. So,
right.
Obviously, the first place that the Fed really created an opening for alternative lenders was with the rollout of Basel III, and since that time, it's continued to tick up over the last 2 years with the rate increases. So what you've seen is that the Fed has been not only constraining credit by raising rates, but also directly pushing banks to increase capital ratios and tighten their credit metrics. Certainly the regional banking crisis that we saw about a year ago has resulted in a lot of scrutiny on the regional bank lenders as well as the larger lenders. And you know, overall bank lending is about 40% of commercial real estate lending. So when you have banks all pulling back in concert and broadly needing to reduce their commercial real estate portfolios, is having a very significant effect. And I don't expect that this is going to get reversed as we go forward. I think the regional banking crisis in particular is going to have a longer term effect in terms of what banks are able to provide in terms of liquidity. And mm-hmm. So I think there's a window for alternative lenders to be stepping in and innovating. And I do think that will continue to be prolonged. Obviously, over market cycles, that will evolve. But I do think it's a kind of permanent opportunity and role for non-bank lenders to fill.
Mm-hmm. Going forward, besides the evolution of interest rates, what else should multifamily investors pay attention to?
So we talked about it a little bit earlier, but something that we're very focused on is getting to the other side of this supply wave within the multifamily space. So, you know, we're looking out 12 to 24 months when there's a significant drop off in the new construction activity and deliveries that will be occurring. So we think that'll be a very positive thing in the future to come within multifamily. The other element that I think is of great importance that all owners are having to focus on is the operating expenses and pressures on operating margins right now. In particular, insurance has been a major topic within the industry, and in certain more climate-driven, event-driven geographies, we've seen just an enormous increase in insurance costs. Owners are having to get creative in terms of finding ways to minimize those costs. But it's a you know, very significant item to pay attention to on the asset management side within existing portfolios, as well as on an underwriting of any new transaction.
Let's pivot the focus of our conversation toward your other interests, the ones that are secondary, so to say, to your main role at Canyon. I know you're involved in various educational programs for women in investment management. Tell me more about them and why you've chosen to get involved.
Absolutely. So I want to encourage this career path for women broadly, because it can be incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. And it's important to get that word out and be a resource and offer support to women thinking about staying within this industry or starting within the industry. So I've made an effort to be involved in a lot of different industry events, supporting women, from speaking opportunities to mentoring and educational opportunities. So that's something that I've spent a lot of time in. And some of the groups that I've gotten involved in that regard have included organizations like KO and the Real Estate Women's Forum and IREI and Women in Institutional Investments Network, among others.
And one last question. It's a question that I ask all of my guests. How much has women's role in multifamily changed over the past decades? Do you think the industry is going in the right direction when it comes to equity and inclusion and diversity?
I do think the industry is going in the right direction. It's very different from when I started out in the industry 20 years ago. So I've seen very positive changes. You know, when I started out, it wasn't even part of the conversation or focus of, you know, the industry broadly. And mm-hmm. now it's something that's top of mind and that organizations are thinking about as they hire and promote internally and as they think about supporting different organizations. So I do think it's improved significantly. And of course, there's a long way to go. And certainly, you know, we're all focused on broadly encouraging women within the industry to join and supporting them as they continue in their careers.
Thank you so much, Robin. This was a great conversation. Thank you for all the insights you provided.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you all for listening. If you liked this episode, please rate and review it on the podcast platform you're using. The next Mission Success episode will be available on the third week of April. But until then, visit multihousingnews.com for the latest news, feature stories, and insights from high-profile executives.